Welcome to Incandescent Tarot, a podcast exploring how to integrate tarot and spirituality with everyday life. I'm your host, Gina Wysotsky. Join me as we tackle big questions like how to work with intuition, just why the tower is so intimidating, and what it means to develop a spiritual practice in this wild modern world. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our reading for September. So exciting, of 2023. I love this month. I love fall. What self-respecting tarot reader and witch wouldn't love fall? But I feel like this is the time of the year where I really come into my own. And I am very excited to dive into the cards with you all. I am feeling a little energized in the tarot sphere. Energetically, on a physical level, I am a little dreamy and sleepy as I record this, which I think is perfect for a tarot reading. It tempers my enthusiasm very naturally, and it's overcast here in Durham. We have some weather coming through, so it's nice, moody, gentle, and mysterious, I have to say, backdrop for our cards. And I'm really happy to say, too, that this is a truly, truly, truly live reading. I have everything together, so I will be recording this, turning over the cards with you, so you get to hear me exclaim and lose my composure, as I always do whenever I am reading. But before we do that, just wanted to say welcome. There's been some more action going on in the incandescent tarot world, and that has been really exciting. So welcome back if you are a longtime listener and follower, even a subscriber on Substack. And welcome to the new faces who have been subscribing over there. It is really exciting to see new people signing up. And I am working on some really exciting stuff that I know I've been, you know, cultivating an aura of mystery around and dropping some hints here and there. But things are in the work, and now it is time to start really polishing so I can share them with you all. So if you want to be updated on that, do go over to Substack. You can sign up for free, where you'll get weekly tarot readings. And you can also sign up for $5 a month for a bunch of extras and more extras coming your way soon. It's a really fun space and it's only growing, so I would love to see you there. Okay, let us look at the cards for September. If you've been following along, we had kind of a challenging reading for August. And I mean, it depends on everyone's experience. These are collective readings, readings for the collective. So they can really, they are broad, we'll put it that way, and they can unfold differently for each of us. But for me, I had the interesting experience of having a very difficult seeming group of cards be very helpful and not quite as acute as they seemed. So if you like more reflections on that, if you want to hear more about my personal experience, I really think it's helpful if you're interested in tarot or reading it to see how it unfolds in other people's lives. Again, the Substack is full of that, so just putting it out there. So we did have a sort of nuanced, tricky reading, and I felt like it was pretty granular. It pointed me towards a very specific issue, and I'm curious to see if things broaden, if we zoom out a little bit this month. So let's do this. I'm also feeling inspired to shake things up and use a different tarot deck than we normally do. So my practice hinges around the grandmother of modern tarot, the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. Usually that's what I'm using. And today I'm using a modern variation of that. So it's the same tarot system, but it has been illustrated by the wonderful Mary Elizabeth Evans, and it's called the Apparition Tarot. So as is tradition, you can find a photo of this on the Substack. I'm just gonna say on the Substack over and over again, apparently, but that's where it all happens. So if you want to get the full scope and really take in the illustrations, head over there. I'll be describing them as we go, and I'll also be cross-referencing the original Rider-Waite-Smith deck. So that may come up here, talking about both versions of the cards. Oh, but looking at them right now with their cute back designs, or these little cherubs, like, flying around in this beautiful robin's egg blue sky. I just love this deck so much. But let's see what we actually have in store. What? Okay. This is interesting. Very interesting. Oh my gosh. Ooh. I am very excited. I know I always say I'm excited, but I'll try to articulate the specific brand of excitement that's coming through here, because it is really fascinating to me. I was just writing and recording the bonus episode for last month's reading. So I was talking through sort of how everything panned out for me personally and sharing whatever insights got kicked up as the month was ending. But while I was doing that, I was thinking about a card that is not in that reading, but I was having these ideas like, that seems to be sort of what I would imagine to be the next step of this sequence, and it's here. So firstly, extremely excited about that. That is really cool, and we'll talk about that very soon. But the most interesting thing, and this is, oh, so much to say. The most interesting thing is that our central card, our theme for September, is the same card as our theme for August. So we have a return of the Five of Pentacles. That's really cool. I don't think that's happened in these monthly readings to date. So we have a first. Welcome to this exciting moment. Exciting is overtaking Substack as my most uttered word for this episode. All right. Now, this is maybe at face value a bit of a bummer, because the Five of Pentacles is a difficult card. And last month we were working with the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, the original, and in that image we see two figures clothed in rags stumbling across the foreground of the card, and they're in front of this, what looks like the side of a church. There's some stained glass window work, a stained glass window above them, gently illuminating the scene, but they are walking through banks of snow and there's snow falling from the sky. So tying that with the Pentacles suit theme of material resources, work, career, the physical body, our physical lives as we live them on the ground, that's not so fun. So we were really focusing on how our struggles in our practical lives were impacting or maybe even masking some deeper grief that we had to deal with, because we also had the Five of Cups as our opportunity card. So in my reading and experience of that, it was really a fixation on material struggles hiding underlying grief. Now, we are not done with the Five of Pentacles. I'm just going to skip ahead, because the card on top of it, which is our card for the context, what's happening in the environment, is really interesting. So that is the Wheel of Fortune. Now, if we were to do this very, very practically, very just creating a sentence, which honestly does not happen a lot with ease in a tarot reading, but as I see these right now, what's coming through is a change in fortunes. Now, that's very exciting. Very, very exciting. So if we were doing the work to sort of untangle our angst around money and career and our experience of struggle in our daily lives, that's my rice cooker, and we're just going to go with it. This month, something is really shifting in our external world through the Wheel of Fortune. So there is change happening, and this type of change is outside of our control. Contrasting this with another card of change outside our control, the Tower, really kind of helps us get some appreciation here, in that the Wheel of Fortune is not cataclysmic change. It may be disruptive, it may be challenging to maintain our balance through, but it is not a world-ending, oh no, I have to deal with something. This is really exciting, again. So I am very, very interested in this pairing. But let's jump ahead and sort of get a picture of the entire spread before we dive back in and sort of pick apart some more details. Now, I say that, and then of course, I have like one more thing to say about this, which is that this is a bit of a confrontational change. We may be really compressed with having to confront our ideas of scarcity and what is possible. The Five of Pentacles and having it as a repeat card and having us feeling attached to it last month, you know, we may really be more comfortable not doing well than we are comfortable prospering. So just be aware of that it might feel terrifying to have a big opportunity land in your lap or to have a creative professional breakthrough. There is something there's known quantities in the Five of Pentacles. So pay attention to your narratives around struggle, having and not having, and how those have been protective in a sense. Okay, so this is actually a nice segue into our opportunity for the month. And this was the card that I was really feeling as the next step from our reading last month. It is the Six of Swords. So this is a very, very poignant card. The Six of Swords, I've been really thinking about a lot in my personal life. And I would like to say too that this energy is very timely and a nice transition from the more sort of acute, fear-based, grief-based experiences that we've been having for the past month. So we have been in Pentacles and Cups, and those are very immediate, sensory, emotional cards. Swords are all about the mind and the intellect. And in the Six of Swords, we see a healthy balance. And that is really lovely, because if you have any tarot experience, and if you've probably, you know, watched any horror movies, the Swords cards are a pokey, upsetting bunch. They tend to have really grisly imagery. It's a violent symbol. But the Six of Swords is where we reach a sense of equilibrium, where we are engaging with our minds, our rational way of thinking, and we're engaging with our intuitive ways of knowing. So when those things come together and we navigate our lives using both sides of the sword, something really transformative and beautiful happens. In the original illustration by Pamela Coleman Smith, which was what was really coming through to me as I was just recording about our opportunity card from last month, which is the Five of Cups, we see a trio of people. They're on a boat. So they're kind of shrouded, they're wrapped up in their clothes. And it appears to be a woman, a child, and then there is someone ferrying them across. So standing behind, gondolier style, and propelling this boat across a lake. There are six swords standing upright, kind of piercing the hull of the boat. And they are making their way across this body of water to the shore on the other side. So they are in transit. They're all moving. They're carrying their swords with them, but they are traveling across water. So this card popped into my mind as I was contemplating the Five of Cups, because we also see a body of water in that card. There's a river that is traveling on the bank that the central character is standing on. And that person is shrouded in black. They're looking at three spilled cups. There's two upright cups behind them. Now, this is very, very moving. So it's as if we were really taking in, honoring our grief. And now this month, we were in that Five of Cups situation. Now we are in the boat crossing that river. So we have done a lot to really hold our own experience with gentleness, to trust in the process of grieving, and to start to move forward. So that is the opportunity for the month, which is how we can begin to move towards that new shore. And the key here is how we can start thinking about our lives differently as they're unfolding. This is not like the armchair analysis that we may even see in the Four of Swords, another very positive Swords card. You know, that person is lying in what looks like a mausoleum. They're resting. They are removed from the world. The Six of Swords is moving through the world. They are in it, but they've built a boat, so they're not like wading through the water, immersed in their emotions, being overwhelmed by them. They have found a way to get some distance and to travel over them. So pay attention to ways that your thinking has kind of mellowed, ways that you have been editing out some ideas, some approaches, some visions that really aren't for you anymore or never were for you to begin with. There is something, I don't know, what I'm feeling in this is just a welcome release, but some bittersweetness. That's why I really love the Six of Swords, is that it shows how we have to move on, and we might not feel ready to do that. You know, there's no perfect elevated place where we have solved our problems and now things are easy. You know, this is really a card of deliberate action and slowness, but also a commitment to the future. So taking those steps, moving ahead, knowing that you can edit as you go, and also honoring that pull of like, oof, I'm leaving a shore that I was on for quite some time. I am taking a risk. I'm in transit. I'm in between. I haven't reached the other side just yet. How can I be with myself in this moment? So I just love in tarot when a reading stitches itself together like this. So moving from our final card, our opportunity, the Five of Cups with that river, into our new opportunity, the Six of Swords, the boat already on the river. We've made so much progress. Just take a moment to witness that, to appreciate it, and to congratulate yourself for all of that work. Now, our challenge card is a little mysterious. This one is another Pentacles card. So we have two Pentacles cards, a Major Arcana card, and a Swords card. Now, this is a funny one too, because it also features water. And the original Rider-Waite-Smith version of this card is somewhat ridiculous. I was giving a reading to someone about a month ago who was just like, what is this person doing? Like, I don't like this. And they're wearing probably one of the most ridiculous outfits in the deck. They have this very tall red hat. They're wearing mostly red, and they're doing this little like jaunty dance on a beach, and they are juggling two pentacles, and behind them is this very undulating, kind of outlandish looking sea. So it's all these big curvy waves, and there's a couple boats perched atop them. And I am intrigued about why would this be a challenge for us. You know, we've talked a lot, and in our readings, we go through the minor arcana, their ace through 10. And so usually, and I feel like just kind of culturally, we tend to be linear, we tend to be forward-looking, that we read that story going ace number 1 to 10. So there's a whole story in there. The fives are that moment right in the middle where it's sort of make it or break it. What are we going to do? That challenge where we have to go from one side of the equation to the other. Now, there's also another way to read this, though, which is going backwards. So going from a position of plenty or even overload in some cases, and traveling back, sort of reducing down, revisiting, rediscovering what is the essential quality that we're looking for that is important to us right now. So with that in mind, what I'm feeling with the Two of Pentacles is that we might have some challenges this month where we're really tempted to start from scratch, make things simpler, abandon some more ambitious ideas. So returning back to the Two of Pentacles. And because our central theme is the five, you know, we can understand why. It's like, oh, something's not working. Like, I just gotta take some things off my plate, maybe try to make this a little more palatable, a little less complicated, or I would say even a little less wonderful for me. This reading is saying, don't do that. There's a big theme here of perseverance, of sticking with things, navigating uncertainty, which is really a big quality of the Six of Swords. When you're still on the river and you haven't reached the other shore, you really have to trust in your ideas. And that wall of swords in front of the people in the boat, that's what's in front of you. You don't know what's going to look like on the ground when you implement those swords, but you know that you need to move towards it. So this reading is giving us a very big reminder that no matter how difficult things may feel, there is a solution. We have committed to a path and it's going to work out, but we need to trust in those visions, and that is really hard. Now, some facets of the Two of Pentacles that would be helpful to know as we go through this month are that the Two of Pentacles is a little bit juvenile. So thinking about that ridiculous outfit, I'll have to post an actual picture of that card because this artist's version is not the same. But you know, we may want to escape to simplicity. We may want to abandon our projects. I'm really thinking of like, you know, that maybe I should just be a scuba diving instructor, you know, in Bali. Like that's the type of energy. These escape fantasies might be really powerful this month. And we can see in that card, you know, they're standing at the shore of the ships, like this idea of like, well, if I could just escape my life as it is on the ground, then everything would be better. If I just have two pentacles to juggle, I'm so much freer. I can do many more things. But we are not about doing many more things. We have really figured out something that's worth fighting for this month. And doing that is going to be really transformative and actually nourishing. You know, there's a bit of a junk food energy that can happen in the Two of Pentacles, wanting to be simpler than we are, wanting instant gratification, wanting freedom and flexibility, but without any deeper meaning. So the idea of no strings when we could really use some strings. I think this is what I'm feeling too with the Six of Swords, is that we have some new mental fortitude to really protect our ideas and our vision from whatever doubts or outside issues may be approaching us this month. So in Mary Elizabeth Evans's illustration of this card, which I really love, it's so beautiful, there is this circle, and in it are all these candles, sort of like ritual items, fruit, a rose, a chalice. It's surrounded by marigolds, and there's two hands that are sort of casting out this light, and in that light we see the Six Swords. Now, I really love that interpretation of the original card, and thinking about how can we use our smarts, our intellect, our mental acuity, our vision for ourselves, our principles, to naturally protect what we know is important. And in that circle, we see all sorts of things. It's kind of a whole life right there in symbolic form. And that is really worth striving for. And I feel like this will be a month if we really enter into that space where drawing boundaries, persisting, communicating what we want and what we need and what we're going for is going to come a lot easier than it normally would. And I am curious to see how that unfolds, to be very honest, in my personal life. Now, I do want to return, as we wrap things up, to our central pair in the Five of Pentacles and the Wheel of Fortune. So I think this is a really important place to bring some extra love and attention, because this is a very interesting split. So the Five of Pentacles, obviously, is number 5 in its group. The Wheel of Fortune is number 10 in the Major Arcana. Now that to me is just like, ooh, there's some tension there, some friction that, you know, we are kind of are doubling our hand in a sense. So as the Wheel of Fortune spins, as our lives change this month, we are getting a lot and it may really freak us out. So take the time now to really practice and maybe even set up a practice where you are welcoming in and exercising your muscle of receiving. Like, things are coming your way. How can you graciously open your arms and work with the gifts that you are being given and are about to be being about to be given? This will be very, very important. And the Wheel of Fortune is a bit of a trickster card. So whatever it is, it might be a little loopy, weird, outside of your wheelhouse, not what you were envisioning, but it is even better than that. It'll just take that acceptance and enthusiasm and a commitment to moving out of the Five of Pentacles. So again, be really mindful of the stickiness of that card and how it may be a comfortable place for you, even though from the outside it looks pretty crappy. Now, this is very tied to feelings of emotional stagnancy, frozenness. We have snow in that card, and in the Five of Cups last month, and the Six of Swords this month, we have flowing water. So it will be especially important this month to be in touch and welcoming to your emotions. So know that your feelings are important. They are informing your experience. They are showing you what is working for you, what is not, and also just bringing you closer to yourself, because a key part of this is that we have to move forward as ourselves. The Six of Swords is really about taking risks, informed risks, but risks that will bring us to a place where we are acting by our values, where we are aligned in balance, the theme of that whole group of cards, all of the sixes. So you can't do that when you're not balancing your grand visions for the future, your talents, your skills, with the heavier things, with what you've been through, with your story, with what you've had to leave behind, what you've lost. There is a big opportunity there to harness the power of our entire experience. And in order to do that, we have to be accepting of and welcoming of our entire experience. Ooh, I'm very excited about this one. Because I anticipate I'll have a lot to say about this moving forward. I'm having to end before I'm done talking, really. But there will be so much to touch on in our recaps, in our check-in in the middle of the month. So please do join us for that if this is interesting. And I hope that you have a really smooth as possible experience of this very interesting reading. Thank you as always for listening. Please share any insights, comments, experiences in the comment section below on Substack. And I will be back next month for October. Ooh, magical. October's reading. Until next time.